2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verses 3 and 4. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I want to preach part 5 of another gospel. In this series of messages, we've already dealt with repentance, the blood of Jesus, the Lordship of Christ, the fear of the Lord, the law of the Christian, the ecumenical movement, the prosperity movement, and on judging. But today we want to focus on two important parts of the gospel. We want to look at the subject of holiness and sin, and how that they are being misrepresented, and what the Bible actually says about these two things. Amen. I want you to understand they're so closely related because the opposite of sin is holiness.
Amen.
Come on. And the opposite of holiness is sin. Amen. Amen. We have to understand we can't be both. Well, glory. I said we can't be both. The Bible said, be ye holy. Amen. The Bible says, calls us in the New Testament, we're referred to as saints. Their glory. Now, one time we were sinners, Brother Terry.
Right.
But the Bible refers to the New Testament believer as a saint. And that word saint is derived from the Greek word hagios, which we also get the same word holy. Amen. So the saint is expected to be holy. How many believe that?
Amen.
Amen. But the common idea today in most religion is that we're all just sinners. Come on. You hear them say it all the time. We're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. Amen. Well, I want you to know, amen, I'm not a sinner any longer. There's no way that I can be both a sinner and holy. There's no way I can be both hagios, amen, come on somebody, and an active sinner. Amen. Whenever I'm born again, I've been delivered of the power of sin.
Yes,
amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. We need to clarify that. Now, I want to look at that subject of holiness. There's a lot of opinions. Now, I'm not going to get into all the details of holiness. I just want to mainly look at the very basic idea of holiness. There's no way that I could cover this subject in one message. Amen. I probably couldn't cover it in a dozen messages. But I want you to understand the very crux of the matter. If you'll understand that, we can build from there. There's a lot of opinions being shared about, amen, what holiness is. Amen. In a mini pulpit today. But a lot of it is just not accurate. The Hebrew word for holiness is kadesh, and it means something which is cut off, separated, and set apart. If you're holy, you are going to be set apart for the service of God. The New Testament word also comes, and I told you, from hagios. It means set apart and separate. Amen. I want you to know, if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be a saint, if you're going to be holy, that means you're going to be set apart or created apart for the service of God. I'm not to be used by the devil. I should be used by God. If I'm being used by the devil, then something's wrong with me.
Yes,
hallelujah. Amen. Now here's some of the absolute statements I want to make about holiness. Number one, amen, the source of holiness is God. How many believes that? Amen. James 1 and 17 tells us, every good and every perfect gift cometh from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I want you to know there would be no good on this planet if it wasn't for God. Amen. There would be no holy if it wasn't for God. Holiness and goodness are derived from God. All moral goodness comes from a knowledge of God. even in sinners. Amen. Some sinners can be much worse sinners. Amen. But there is in every person a knowledge of who God is. And to some extent, that restrains evil. Amen. It may not restrain it completely. Amen. But it gives them pause. I've heard sinners say they were ashamed of certain things they had done. They weren't saved. They weren't Christians. But what it was a knowledge of the Creator, of a holy God, that brought shame to them, that brought conviction and condemnation. Amen. I want you to know it all comes from God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says God created it. Even said, brother, since Terry been studying on it, it said God even created it and he saw that it was good. I want you to know in the beginning, everything God created was good and perfect. It was sin that marred it. It was sin that brought destruction into this world. It's sin that brought thorns and briars, sickness and pain, amen, and all the perversions of evil, amen. But I'm glad that Jesus, through his precious blood, come to restore us back to what God intended in the beginning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Everything was created good by God. Amen. It was good in its original state. Anything that is evil today became evil through its own choice and volition. Ezekiel 28 tells us about Lucifer. Amen. Actually, it's a double, amen, prophecy, because it talks about the king, hallelujah, there of Tyrus. But it's also an allusion to who Christ, amen, it's an allusion, and it tells us, amen, of who Lucifer was in the beginning. It said, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, even the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabourets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Amen. He said, Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Speaking of Lucifer. And I've set thee up so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou walked, amen, up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. I want you to know Lucifer was created perfect in the beginning, but iniquity was found in him. Adam and Eve was created perfect in the beginning, but iniquity was found in them. God didn't create evil. He didn't create sin. Sin is a choice that people make. Amen. I want you to know I went to the altar and I repented. I made a choice to live holy, and by that I became a new creature in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Number two, God is holy and he calls his followers to be holy as he is. Hallelujah. Leviticus 20 and 7 says, Sanctify there yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. I want you to know the Bible is filled, amen, with God challenging us and commanding us to be holy. Amen. We are to be like he is. How is that possible? Only through Christ can we be made so. Amen. I want you to know that Jesus is the perfect man, and he's called each and every one of us, to be perfect as well.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, You are a holy nation, a peculiar people. Amen. We've been called to this. Amen. Number three, any holiness sought out of sight of Christ will ultimately fail. Amen. I want you to know, amen, we've been called to be holy, but that is in Christ. I can get up every day and I can live holy. I can live free from sin. I can live without bondage. Amen. Not in my own flesh, but by the empowering presence of Christ in my life through the Holy Ghost, if I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Number four, our holiness is made possible by His holiness. Oh, I want you to know, folks, that's what I'm stating to you. He is holy. Amen. Therefore, He can command us to follow and be holy as He is. Amen. Number five, amen, though our holiness is made possible by His, this does not absolve the Christian from the responsibility of making proper choices and walking in obedience to the Word of God. I hear so many saying, I can't live holy. It's impossible. I want you to know, amen, what was impossible to you in the flesh is now possible to you in the Spirit. You can live holy. Amen. Somebody said, well, Jesus is holy, and I don't have to be. I beg your pardon. He's holy, and I want to be like Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Number six, grace comes to teach us how to live and walk in holiness. There's a lot of talk about grace today. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to tell you, the grace that's being preached in most churches gives people a right to sin. But the grace that's taught in the Bible, amen, does not do any such thing. Amen. Amen. It says here in Titus 2 verses 11 and 12, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Brother Bob, amen, grace came to teach me how to live holy. Grace came to teach me how to live godly, to live above the world. Amen. God's grace is not a cloak for your sin. It's not a cloak for you to live like you want to live. God's grace is the ability to live holy. Amen. By God's grace, I can live holy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I'm talking about holiness. Amen. The cry today from so many religious people is that we cannot be holy. They claim, amen, that we are still sinners even if we have made a confession of faith in Christ. These false preachers have crafted a sinning religion that makes it possible for a person to embrace sin and deny holiness. Amen. I want you to know, any sinning religion is doing service to the devil and not service to God. Amen. The Bible, amen, teaches us that we can be free from the bondage and chains, amen, of sin. Any preacher, any church that tells you it's all right to live in sin is doing the work of the devil and not God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Holiness is of great importance. The Bible makes it absolutely certain that being holy is a requirement for a person to see God. Seeing God going to heaven is the ultimate goal of the Christian. And in order to achieve this goal, we must be holy. Hebrews 12 and 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. Amen. All false teachers will manifest the characteristic, amen, of undermining and minimizing the importance of holiness in the life of the believer. I want you to know, amen, God's called me to be holy. He's called you to be holy. He's called the ministry to preach holiness. Anybody that undermines that is destroying the very foundation of this gospel.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I can't preach about holiness without talking about sin. It's impossible, because they are antithesis of one another. Hallelujah. Amen. Now look at sin a little more closely. We looked at holiness. Let's look at sin. In this section, we will talk about Calvinism and once saved, always saved. We must be correct in our understanding of sin. We're going to miss the boat, folks. Hallelujah. In his book, A Right Conception of Sin, Richard S. Taylor says this: sin as one doctrine of the Christian system is the common denominator of all other doctrines. He goes on to say, and as Christians, if our conception of sin is faulty, our whole superstructure will be one error built upon another. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you get the sin definition wrong, you'll get every other definition wrong. If you don't get the foundation foundation right. When you build the house, a house is going to be out of square. It's going to be unlevel. But if you get the foundation right, everything will fall in place.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. We must get this issue of sin correct. If we misunderstand what sin is, then we fail to understand anything else. Hallelujah. This is where Calvinism fails. It does not define sin correctly. Amen. Therefore, the whole system of Calvinism is one large Titanic ship ripped by an iceberg that's heading towards the depths of the bottom of a cold ocean. Amen. I can tell you, amen, I'm not on board a sinking ship. I'm on a ship headed to heaven, and this ship is free from sin.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God forevermore. Hallelujah. Listen to me carefully here. If you do not have a correct view of sin, then you're more likely to not have a correct view of any other subject in the Bible. Even John Fletcher, the young contemporary of John Wesley, said, "How few of our celebrated pulpits are there where more has been said at times for sin than against sin." I have to say amen. Amen. How many pulpits are there in America and all over this world that's amen saying it's all right to sin? That's telling people, amen, there's nothing wrong, nothing deadly about sin. I want you to know sin is deadly. And if you live in continual, habitual sin and you don't repent of it, it'll destroy your soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. One of the most insidiously evil doctrines in defense of sin is the doctrine of unconditional eternal security. We probably know it more by its nickname, once saved, always saved. Hallelujah. Actually, this doctrine is wholly built upon Calvinism, and it's a deadly doctrine that gives people an excuse to live in sin and still think they're going to heaven. Amen. My God, help us. Make no mistake about it. This doctrine has sent many people to hell and will continue to send many more to hell. Amen. This doctrine makes sin a non-event in people's lives. And if they've previously expressed a faith in Christ, I want you to know sin is never a non-event.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When you make a moral choice to rebel against God and choose to sin, it will affect you.
Amen.
One lady, amen, told me on Facebook, all it does is removes part of your reward. I said, no, it removes all of it. Come on, it'll take your place in heaven away. Amen. Let me tell you, if you enter into active, known rebellion against God, it'll destroy your soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God help us. One minister, let me read this to you first. I said this a while back. Charles Stanley, which is probably one of the most well-known Baptist ministers in America today, pastors First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, said this in his book, Eternal Security, page 74. The Bible clearly teaches that God's love for His people is of such magnitude that even those who walk away from faith have not the slightest chance of slipping from His hand. In page 74 he said, or page 93 he said, even if a believer for all practical purposes becomes an unbeliever, his salvation is not in jeopardy, for God is faithful. You know what he said? Even if a believer backslides and becomes an atheist, he'll still go to heaven. Hallelujah. Let me tell you folks, that's a lie from the pits of hell.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to know folks, amen, the potential to sin is there for every one of us. But we don't have to. Come on somebody, I said we don't have to. Amen. And if I sin, I do have somebody I can come to. And I can repent. That means don't do it again. And begin to live righteous and holy. And there's a God in heaven that'll cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. One minister was asked on television by the one interviewing him. He said, "Now, sir, you believe in once saved, always saved?" He said, "Yes." Hey, let me ask you a question. If you was in bed with another woman beside your wife, committing adultery, and the rapture were to take place, would you go in the rapture? And the preacher never even hesitated. He said, absolutely yes. And he said, let me give you an illustration. He said, amen, my sins is up to here. And he held his hand up about chest high. But the grace of God is up here. So everything I do is covered by the grace of God. I want you to know that's a lie, folks. I said, that's a lie. You can't commit adultery and not pay the penalty for it. Amen, well, glory. Amen, it's a sin. I said, it's a sin. And you may be in the church and in an altar. But if you don't repent of it, it'll send you to hell. That's as sure as the devil's going there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Richard S. Taylor, and I quote him often, and I got several of his books in my library, some of the finest books I've ever read. Richard S. Taylor tells the story in his book of a friend of his that heard a modern, unconditional, eternal security, once saved, always saved preacher addressing a large youth conference with these words: girls, be sure you are born again. Be sure you are born again. Then if afterward you go into sin and die in disgrace, I'll meet you in heaven. Boys, be sure you are born again. Be sure you are born again. Then afterwards, if you go, amen, into deep sin and die in a drunken brawl, I'll meet you in heaven. Hallelujah. I said, well, who in the world would preach such a thing? Well, I want to tell you this up front. Not every Baptist preacher will preach that. But that's what their theology believes.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Because they believe, most of them, in unconditional, eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's a danger in that. I said, there's a danger in that. When you tell a person they can keep sinning and still go to heaven. Amen. I want you to know the call to repentance is a call to quit sinning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Does the Bible teach that a sinner can live in open sin and still be in a saving relationship with Christ? Does the Bible really teach that all we have to do is pray a little prayer at some point in our life and then we'll go out and sin all that we want to and in the end we'll still go to heaven? No, it don't teach that. Hallelujah. Now, just to make things clear, that doesn't mean everybody sitting in a Baptist church is not Christian. I know some Baptist people that live holy lives that don't live in sin. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. But their doctrine and their theology ultimately leads to that end. And there are preachers in their movement that are preaching that to their young people. And the danger is this. Somebody said, what's the danger to Pentecost? This is the danger. We've been around it long enough now in Pentecostalism in America, and it's made inroads into our churches. Though not many Pentecostal preachers would be so bold as to make such statements. Amen. As some of those I read to you, there are those that have taken a soft view of sin. There are those that excuse it. Amen. Come on. There are those that make, amen, for it. There's preachers in Pentecostal churches that don't even believe it's wrong, amen, for people to shack up together anymore. At one time we all preached they need to get saved, they need to repent, and they need to get married. But I know some that won't even preach that anymore.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, come on, somebody. Brother Joey was telling me that Friday night he knows some young people in some of the churches that we ministered in. Some of the young people that don't frown upon homosexual marriage. I'm talking about in Pentecostal churches. Churches that I preached in. Come on, somebody. That's the soft view of sin that is entering now into the Pentecostal churches. This is why I'm preaching on this message. Another gospel, Sister Brenda, there's danger of people in our churches beginning to be tolerant towards sin. Beginning to say, well, it's not so bad. It's not so evil. I want you to know sin is a slap to the face of God.
Amen.
It's always evil. Hallelujah. Amen. Here's what the Bible teaches about sin. Number one, the purpose of coming to Christ was to redeem us from all our sin. Hallelujah. Matthew 1 and 21 tells us, amen, Jesus will come, and it said he will save his people from their sins. Titus 2 and 14 tells us Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I won't tell Jesus came to deliver us from sin, to save us from all iniquity, to save us from our sins. Number two, after being cleansed by the blood of Jesus, it is possible for you and I to stay free from sin. Romans 6 and 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Romans 6 and 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Romans 6 and 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should avoid, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Romans 6 and 22. But now being made free from sin. Oh, come on, somebody. James 1 and 27. That we should keep ourselves unspotted from the world. The Bible's clear. We don't have to become bound to sin ever again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Number three, grace does not cover sin, but gives us the power to live a holy life. Romans 6, 1 and 2. I read part of it a while ago. What shall we say then? Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Amen. Romans 6 and 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Amen. I'm going to tell you, the grace didn't come to cover my sin. As the preacher on television said, grace come to completely wash my sins away. They're not under nothing. They're gone.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory. I got a lot of notes. Just stay with me. I know this is deep stuff, but it's good for you. Remember, number four, whoever sins is the servant of sin and not the servant of God. This is what the Bible teaches us. Number four, whoever sins is the servant of sin and not the servant of God. John 8 and 34, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Matthew 6 and 24, no man can serve two masters. He's either going to serve one or the other. Amen. Number five, amen, those who go back to their sinful ways after they have repented will lose their salvation. Ezekiel 33 and 13 says, when I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. I'm on somebody. If a righteous man goes back into sin, the Bible says he will die because of his sin.
Amen.
Galatians 2 and 18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. 2 Peter 2 verses 20 through 22. Or if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Or it had been better they had never known the way of righteousness than to have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his vomit and the sow to her wallowing in the mire. I want you to know you can go back in sin.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hebrews, God said, I'll have no pleasure in them that turn back unto perdition. Number six, those who sin cannot see, nor do they really know God. Matthew 5 and 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 7 and 23, Jesus said to those that came to him, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Amen. Amen. Number seven, whosoever loves the world does not belong to God. 1 John 2 and 15, love not the world nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. Number eight, those who walk in the Spirit do not walk in the lust of of the flesh. Romans 8 and 1, we heard it Friday night. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. Number 9, those who are Christ are careful to keep their experience in Christ undefiled. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, Paul said, I keep my body under. Hallelujah. I bring it into subjection, lest by any means I preach to others, I myself should become a castaway. Amen. Number 10, whosoever commits sin is of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 through 10, he that commits sin is of the devil. Number 11, the Christian must follow the example of Christ. Amen. I'm not here to be like me, I'm here to be like him. And Jesus was without sin. Yes. In 1 John 2 and 6. Hallelujah. Number 12. A holy life does not produce sinful fruit. Come on, somebody. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Every evil tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Come on. Hallelujah. If you're a holy tree and you're bringing forth holy fruit, that's just the way it works. Amen. Come on. You don't go pick cherries. Amen. I said you don't go pick cherries off an orange tree. Amen. If you want righteousness, you got to find a righteous tree.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Number 13, those who willingly sin cannot enter into heaven. 1 Peter 4 and 18, if the righteous scarcely be saved, then where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? Amen. Revelation 21 and 27 says this, amen, there shall in no wise enter into that city anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Come on. Amen. Nothing like that's going into that city where the Lamb is the light. Amen. Number 14. A Christian is a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Quoted all the time. Amen. If therefore any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. I'm just trying to get it all out to you. I got a lot of them. Number 15, salvation brings a perfect heart. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7 and 19. Amen. Number 16, those who love God keep his commandments. John 14 and 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Number 17, the Lord does not give commandments that are impossible to obey. Hallelujah. Even John 8 and 11, he said, no man, Lord. Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus would never ask that woman to do something that was impossible.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He told her to go and sin no more. What a wonderful command. John 14 and 21, he said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. God asks us, commands us to live holy. He commands us to stop sinning. I want you to know there is another gospel out there that rejects holiness and embraces sin. You and I must be willing to stand against that false gospel.
Amen.
I know sometimes people get a little aggravated and put out with me because I'm willing to say what needs to be said. And I'm going to tell you right now, amen, if we don't, then people are going to fall into hell and we will be at fault for not warning them of the danger that they're in. Does it matter where you go to church? Absolutely. And just because it says it's Spirit-filled or full gospel or Pentecostal or Assembly of God or whatever, amen, doesn't mean it's necessarily a good church to attend.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. They may have a soft view of sin there. They may allow adulterers to sit there without ever preaching against adultery. They may allow men with an effeminate spirit to sit there without anybody addressing it. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, if they're a true church of the living God, they're going to preach against sin. Hallelujah. And they're not afraid to. Well, glory. Stand with me all over this building. Lord, I love you. Thank you for the word of God. Help us to apply it in Jesus' name.